Hello and welcome to Witchy Wellness Radio. I'm your host, Lauren Chalantani, women's holistic health coach and fellow recovering perfectionist. This podcast was created to show you that your body is not in the way. It is actually leading your way. We're back. Hello, everybody. It's Lauren here, and welcome back to Witchy Wellness Radio, episode 11. And today we are talking to Morgan Day Cecil all about feminine wholeness. Now, if you have been an avid listener, you know that we took a little bit of break over the summer, but now it's fall, time to kind of tune inwards, start listening to your favorite podcast again, like Witchy Wellness Radio. And we're back on action for the next at least 10 more podcast episodes. And we post every other Tuesday. Now, if you haven't already, head over to iTunes, search Witchy Wellness Radio, and hit subscribe. And I would be so, so grateful if you could leave a review. You love it, you like it, you hate it, whatever in between, head over to iTunes, subscribe, and write a review. Now, back to our show today, episode 11, all about feminine wholeness with our guest, Morgan Day Cecil, an integrated feminine wholeness coach. Morgan is an expert in feminine wholeness, guiding women back to the freedom and joy in their body and soul. Through her one-on-one Sophia Embodied program and her transformative Sophia retreats around the world, Morgan delights in seeing women learn to trust what lights them up and radically love every part of who they are. She teaches that healing is a love story and offers a free guided meditation to help women create a new narrative around sex and sexuality. And this will be linked in the show notes, but head over to morgandaycecil.com/no more shame. Morgan is a Christian mystic, mentor, mama, and wife. She is a lover of wisdom, travel, lingerie. She offers free tips and practices to embrace being a woman, embody love, and live in wholeness on her YouTube channel and more in-depth learning through Feminine Wholeness University. Get on the wait list for the Sophia School of Feminine Wholeness launching next year, 2019, at femininewholeness.me, and all of these links will be in the show notes. In this episode, you guys will hear all about what Morgan's role is as an integrated feminist wholeness coach. Why are we so afraid of our sexuality and our feminine power? How to create a safe space inside our own being with the Finding Your Inner Resource tool. What you can do for your body to help her release some of the most toxic and long-held emotions. Her three keys to feminine wholeness. And why is this Sophia character so important? And who the heck is she? All right. I know you guys are ready for the episode. Without further ado, here's the interview with Morgan Day Cecil. Well, welcome, Morgan, to Witchy Wellness Radio. Morgan's our guest today, and she is an integrated feminine wholeness coach, which I will let you explain a little bit about what that actually is, but welcome.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Yeah, I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for bringing me on to Witchy Wellness Radio. I think it's the coolest name ever.
Thank you.
My husband keeps telling me he loves my witchy side. He's this good Christian boy, and he's just loving my witchy side. Mm-hmm. So we've been leaning into that, and it's been really fun. So I'm happy to be here.
So diving straight into what integrative feminine wholeness coach means, because I think you offer so much to women, myself included, going through some of your programs. Kind of unpack that. I know you help a lot of women with releasing shame in their body and kind of embodying their inner Sophia. Yes. I think that might be a good place to kind of start to unwrap what you do and what you're all about.
Yeah. So what I'm all about is love. I want women to feel love, to experience love, to know that they're loved, and to really have that embodied sense of love running throughout their day. And that's what I want to experience in my life. And when I am in that state of love, like, life just becomes magical. And I have, I can see things differently. And there's a sense of freedom and a sense of wholeness that comes from that just state of being in love. So the work that I do is helping to guide women back to that place that I do believe lives in all of us, that has never left us. And it's that state of love, a state of wholeness, is our original goodness that we came into the world with, and somehow we've gotten lost from it. But it's actually not hard to find it again once we begin on this path of wholeness and feminine wholeness, a really particular way of approaching relationship to ourself and the world around us. And that really includes all things. And so one of the areas that I focus on, because it's an area that has caused so much pain and so much suffering for women, is the body and sexuality, particularly at the intersection of our spirituality, because these are two really powerful experiences of being human and really at the root of what we're all looking for, which is connection and love. So I work there. A lot of the work I do is setting women free and releasing them, helping to show them how they can release themselves from fear, guilt, and shame that maybe they've been brought up with. So does that help explain?
Oh, yeah, it does. I think a lot of our listeners are going to resonate with, you know, realizing that so many emotions, especially shame, are stored so deeply in our bodies and ourselves, and especially tied into our sexuality as women. It's just like ingrained in our DNA in a way. And I think for me, through my own wholeness journey, is realizing that we can heal that.
We can. It's so exciting. Isn't it so good news? And what I just am so in awe of, and in my clients and in the women that I get to work with, is that it's so much closer than we think. I mean, when I first started on this journey, and maybe when you first started on it too, Lauren, it may have felt impossibly far away to ever get to that place where you felt truly whole and that you had genuine love for yourself and love for your soul, your body, your sexuality, all of those pieces. But I'm so in love and in awe of the fact that it's like a few months into this work with like the intentionality and the embodiment practices, and we really do come back home. We really do get to experience this, I believe, how we are designed to experience life, which is from this place of wholeness. And my background is that, you know, I have certification in sex, love, and relationships. And so I've done a lot of training in specifically Tantra, that approach to, it's the technology of love right there, like an embodied technology of love. And I've gone on to study trauma and how we heal from trauma, specifically sexual trauma, because the wounding is so deep, and also generational trauma. You know, we ourselves may not have experienced rape, for instance, but someone in our line may have, most likely they have, you know, or even some kind of sexual trauma. Also, our culture is very sexually traumatized. So none of us really get out unscathed, right? We enter into adulthood, and all of us, every single woman I've ever talked to, has some issue or some thing with sex or their sexuality.
So through my own journey, and I know a lot of fellow recovering perfectionists, i.e. a lot of listeners, find a lot of fear around this power inside of us in terms of our sexuality, but it's also what I believe is the power that creates worlds, but also creates beauty and everything else in life. It doesn't have to be pure sexual. So could you kind of speak into tapping into that power and kind of alongside how that fear kind of plays into all of that?
Yes. So You're right. You're absolutely right that inside each human being, there is this power, especially women. We have this untapped power that's very much connected to our sexuality, and not our sexuality that we need to be attractive in the eyes of someone else, in the eyes of a man, not a sexuality that's meant to be sexualized, but a sexuality that's just connected to our ability to create and our ability to bring new things to life, even bringing ourselves to life with joy, with a remembrance of beauty and delight. Like, all of these things are so powerful, and we can witness it in the women around us, the women that we admire. There is a vitality, there's a radiance, there's something that just reminds us of what we're made for, in the way that they just show up in the world and pursue what they're passionate about. It's like this fuel that is so, so attractive. And it's attractive because it's like this remembrance of what we're made for and what we too can experience. But there is a fear, because there's so much, there's so many stories around a sexually liberated woman, a sexually alive woman, that's associated with a dangerous woman, a woman who is evil, a woman who wants to destroy or tear apart, you know, this idea of the temptress or the idea of the adulteress. Like, just, we have these associations that when a woman is in her power sexually, that it's going to cause destruction in the world, or it's going to bring about chaos and all of these bad things. And that's this myth of our culture. But the reality is, and you can even check in with yourself right now, if you think about the things that light you up, something as simple as a hot cup of coffee or a sunset or seeing the full moon and just like being amazed by its beauty. Like, think about that embodied state of being, we could call it turned on, like being lit up from within, like something is bringing us joy. And ask yourself, from that state of embodying delight, embodying joy, are you more or less capable to make decisions in love? I would say we are more capable of making decisions in love. We are more capable of being courageous and moving in the directions of love instead of fear. But when we are living shut down, when we are not pursuing the things that light us up, when we aren't noticing the beauty around us, when we are afraid of being turned on to life and being alive and being vibrant and being opinionated or being passionate, when we are afraid of those things, we get smaller and smaller and smaller. And suddenly our thought life becomes filled with comparison, filled with worrying about what other people think about us, filled with all of these worries that really shut us down more and more and more, and make our experience in the world smaller and smaller, and make our light dimmer and dimmer. And so one of the first steps to this freedom that we want, this life to the full that we want, and really releasing this need to be a perfectionist, is to create a safe space within our own being, our own heart, our own body, where it's safe to be turned on, where it's truly safe to be lit up. And we can start small. You know, it may seem for a lot of women overwhelming to feel like it's truly safe to be in their fullest sexual power, you know, in that erotic state of just being like this wild, wild, sexually alive woman. That may feel overwhelming at first. And so we don't have to go from 0 to 60 overnight, but we can start practices that really give ourselves permission to pursue the things that light us up, to from the smallest things, like just to fill our morning routine with joy, and to really pay attention to when we feel joy and to when we are feeling delight, even if it's the colors that really just make us sing, like when we're window shopping and there's a particular color of pink or beige, or if there's just elements in nature, that when we see a particular flower, a certain kind of tree, or a certain time of day, where it just feels like our soul is like, listen, look, there's beauty out there, to begin to pay attention to those parts of our human experience and to give ourselves permission for more of those, and to tie it to our sexuality, saying, hey, this is a part of me saying yes to my sexuality, and it's safe. So I can say a lot about that, but you're absolutely right that our our sexuality is connected to our power, and it's also of primary importance that we feel safe in it, and only we can do that work. So that first step, moving into the direction of freedom and away from perfectionism, is to really doing the work of learning how to give yourself permission, doing the work to create that safe space within your own body.
That is so beautiful. I still do that every day. I think that being fully present and feeling safe and allowing yourself to feel that way is that's a game changer. You don't have to meditate for 3 hours or go to a hot yoga class. Like you said, just like totally be present and aware and take that sip of coffee or tea and just like become it.
And it's so simple. And if it's all right with you, I would love to give your listeners a really practical tool, because I want every single woman to have access to this, because it's one of the most powerful things that I've been taught. And it's so, so simple. And we can all do it right now. And it's the practice of finding your inner resource. And you can call it your inner sanctuary. And all you need to do is pause. So slowing down just enough to feel your breath beginning to slow, maybe taking a deeper exhale. Feeling where you are in space, like whatever body part is touching the earth, if you're standing up and walking, or if you're sitting in a chair somewhere, feel how you're connected to the earth and bring your awareness there. And then just ask your body this simple question: where in me feels warm and good right now? And just let your body tell you. And this is the thing, we don't need to think about it and bring in the ego and wonder about this. Is this question weird? Is this a weird question to ask my body where it feels safe and good? But just ask the body. And with practice over time, you'll begin to hear. Maybe you'll hear right away and it'll just be like, wow, actually, I feel really warm and good in my heart space. Or actually, wow, I feel really warm and safe and good underneath my right armpit. Or, you know, it could be anywhere in the body. Like sometimes I ask the question and it's like my big toe that feels like the safest place in me. So it's just a silly, wonderful question. But the good news is that if we ask and if we really listen, there's always some place in the body that is a safe place to be, that feels warm and good. And then we can go there. Just imagining like being a little child and curling up into that space, like you're playing hide and go seek, or you're going to go nap in this secret place in your home. But to feel that this body really is this temple. And then in this temple, there are these little sanctuaries that we can go and nap in if we want to, or just rest in, or to hide out from the stress or chaos of the world. And so this is one of the first things I teach my clients, is before we go into the work of, you know, whether it's doing shadow work or working through some of the triggers that come up around sex, to know that nothing will ever be too much for you. Like no memory of the past. The past is just a story, but it lives in our body too. So sometimes when those memories come up, it can feel triggering, it can feel scary, but to know that you have the ability to also find a safe place within yourself is really empowering, and it empowers a woman to then go into more of the work. And so I encourage on the daily for all of us to be practicing this, finding our inner resource, finding this inner sanctuary. And maybe we ask that question before we begin a meditation practice, before we begin to sit down to eat, before we do any type of spiritual thing. And so we can practice orienting our experience from a place within our own bodies that's safe and warm and good. And so we get used to this experience of knowing that we belong here, knowing that it's safe to be here, knowing that we're okay.
And that's a beautiful place to start. I think for me, I imagine a lot of this work, you know, obviously in the sacral chakra, but the first three chakras, kind of our survival emotions live there in the bottom half of our energy centers. But when we can establish these roots and the safety, and you just can just feel the energy kind of flowing up. And when you do get triggered, you can go back to that safe space and not ignore those triggers, but let them kind of flow through. You know, it's not about being ignorant or turning the other way in a negative sense. It's that, you know, these things are happening, but that's not actually who I am. This is who I am. They might be telling me where to heal or where to dive deeper into, but that's not who I really am at my core.
Yeah. If we can think about it this way, is that if we're in fight or flight, our view of the world gets very narrow and we're in survival mode. And so when we get triggered, we actually see less possibility and we fall back into old scripts and old stories. That's really limiting. And so operating from that place of a trigger, we tend to make choices based out of fear and survival. But when we find our inner resource first and get grounded and come into this place of presence, really, it's almost we're given like this spiritual lens on our life. Like we're able to be a witness to the whole story, and we're able to see stories for what they are, and we're able to see a whole horizon of possibilities. And so, yes, we could still make the decision we've always made and react and respond in a survival type of manner, or maybe another road will open up from that place of presence, from that place of like, there, we have all the time in the world here. We're safe. We don't need to rush to make a decision or to defend ourselves or to protect ourselves. We're safe. And from that really relaxed, centered, grounded presence, we then can make a decision in alignment with what we really want, which is love, wholeness, peace. It gives us the courage to see the whole picture and then to move forward based on what we really want.
That I love that. It just pops into my head through my own kind of meditation journey. So for me, meditation and kind of getting outside the body is a very masculine way of divinity or spirituality. And obviously what we're talking about with you is a gorgeous, beautiful, divine, feminine way of spirituality where we truly embody and we're present in this reality. And I think whether you have a meditation practice now or maybe you want to get into one, I find it so helpful to start more with this feminine approach of embodiment practices like this, because when I started my meditation practice and they're like, okay, now feel gratitude or something very basic, I couldn't summon that emotion. I didn't so cut off and shut down. I was like, okay, I'm trying. I'm like forcing and pushing, but you know, it wasn't feeling. So I think with anything, like there's always darkness and light, and there's feminine and masculine. We embody each of those aspects. And I think that we need to honor both. But as women and men now, I think we're called to really heal these divine aspects in ourselves. And it can start like what we just talked about, is finding your inner sanctuary in these embodiment practices of feeling safe. And I think as a woman in today's society, in terms of sexuality, but also what's going on in the news about, I mean, Bill Cosby just got sentenced yesterday, and just the rape culture and the idea of permission and these things that have been kind of underneath the rug for centuries, millennia, that are coming up now. And I think in each and one of us, myself included, there's a lot of anger that has been there, anger and shame, because we couldn't do anything about it until now. But I want to kind of remind everybody that we're all here on our own healing journeys, whether we're the victim or the perpetrator, and that, you know, we're here to work through these emotions, through these patterns, through these triggers, to become and reveal complete love and joy and our divine wholeness. Can you maybe dive into this topic of, you know, what's kind of going on in today's culture with sexualizing women's bodies, but also kind of what's going on in the news between Hollywood and all of these, you know, swept underneath the rug stories, and how we can kind of deal with that coming from our own feminine wholeness.
Yeah, wow, it's such a big...
It's a big thing.
I sometimes can feel overwhelmed by all of that. So I like to keep things really simple and just bring it back to what am I experiencing? And I remember that there are certain... Inside the feminine wholeness journey, and this is something that I've developed over many, many years of working with these ideas and working with my own healing journey, is that there is a choice to either make healing a battle, and there is someone who is the enemy, and there is a fight to be had, and there is a victory to be won, and we got to fight for this. And it's just a certain energy that's very masculine. Mm-hmm. And for many, you know, this is how we've done it. This is how the only approach we knew. But one of the things that has been so clear to me as I go into this work and really draw closer to the divine feminine energy, and we'll talk about Sophia, I'll talk about what Sophia means to me, is this invitation for healing to be a love story. And that this process of redeeming, reclaiming, restoring can be a romance, which means it can be very gentle. It can be very sweet. It can mean that everyone's a winner. And in the sense that we don't have to make it us and them, because it's not us and them. It's men are suffering just as much as women, and that we really are in this together. And that when we begin to really own who we are as women and take radical responsibility for how we're choosing to show up in the world, this is just a blessing and a gift and healing for everyone. It heals in all directions, backwards and forwards, to other women, to other men. So one of the things has helped me kind of just work with this, because there is a lot of anger and there is a lot of resentment and bitterness. And I felt it all. I've gone through all of these emotions towards men, towards my own husband, towards the church, towards patriarchy, towards religion. It's very valid. And so we have to make space to embody those feelings. And for women, embodying anger, for one thing, we have not been invited to do that. It has not been an emotion that has been applauded or encouraged to feel as women, this anger. And so one of the most fun and healing practices of embodiment I do is just like going like batshit crazy, like turning on like just some music, or just connecting to even just elements of nature, like nature sounds like thunderstorm or really heavy rain, and then allowing my body to flail around on the bed or the floor, to punch, to kick, to growl, to grunt, to scream, to really embody this pent up aggression, anger, frustration that's never been allowed to really be expressed. And for me, because I never had the space to express it or to voice it, I turned that inward and I became severely depressed when I was a teenager. And I cycled in and out of very dark depression for decades, until I really began this work and understood there is so many layers to what I am suffering under. And each one needs to be embodied in order to be released. And what I find so helpful about this embodiment practice of allowing the body just to go into fight or flight, let's say, and to punch and kick and to not really attach a story to it, you know, maybe just to use the story just so much as it juices the emotion so we can really feel that again and we feel that running through us. But then to let the story dissolve away and let it be more about the physical expression that it is about the psychological resolve, you know, let's say, because maybe we can't get forgiveness or retribution the way that we deserve or the way that we would like to have it. But we still can take our bodies through the cycle of completing that stress cycle so that we can begin to experience freedom and release and inner peace, irregardless of whoever has wronged us, whatever their journey is, and let that be their journey. And so for me, that's been one way that I've dealt with this, is to really go back to what can I do for my own body to help her release some of these toxic, long-held emotions. Because emotions themselves, none of them are toxic. Anger, not even hatred, is toxic if we allow it to flow through us and flow out. When an emotion becomes toxic is when it gets stuck. And so much of that, you know, it gets buried, as you said, in the lower chakras. And so in our sexual center. And that's why, I mean, this is such a prevalent issue, that once a woman has finally found a safe person, she's gotten married, she's fallen in love, there is a safe place for her soul and her body to rest. And then, boom, all desire leaves her. Why? Why all of a sudden, when she's married and she's with her soulmate and the person she couldn't wait to experience the fullness of life and marriage with, does her desire leave her? And I think it's because finally the soul feels it's safe to be a no. Finally, no more performance. And so now is the invitation to experience that no, to embody that no, to do the work of unpacking all the layers of that no, both from a personal history standpoint, whatever ways you've experienced sexual assault, trauma, abuse, rape, emotionally, physically, spiritually, all those things, but also culturally as women, that we haven't been allowed a no. We haven't been given the permission inside marriage to be a no. Especially this idea that's come through the lines of religion, that it's our duty to give our husband sex, and how damaging that is to women. So I find that this is the initiation. This loss of desire for sex is oftentimes this initiation into a deeper wholeness journey, where you get to then reclaim every part of you so you can become a full, authentic hell yes. Because sex is great. Yes. And you know, there's so much beauty in sexuality and sexual expression in orgasm. But if we've never, ever fully experienced a no, we can never, ever really be a yes. So that's just one example of just, man, there's so many directions we can take this conversation, but I do just want to highlight the ways that, yes, it is valid to feel anger. Yes, it is important to do whatever healing work we feel like we need to do personally and on behalf of our culture or our family. But that it really does start within our own experience, our own body's freedom. This is without getting too political, but I do believe making our voices heard in the political world is important, the political landscape, cultural landscape. But more important is, what work are you doing to embody that freedom, to live in that peace, to embody love, and so that your message can resonate and it doesn't come across as a reaction or a retaliation, but it comes from a place of love. And it's so important. We can't fake that. Either we embody it or we're still on the journey.
Oh, yeah. And I think what came to mind with all of that, especially that little part, was what we resist persists. So fully embodying that love and what you want to see in the world first, because you can tell when somebody's energy is off. You can tell when, you know, you ask them how they're doing and they're like, I'm fine, thank you. You know, you can just tell when there's like that, there's something underneath that veil that's not authentic. And I mean, if you want to change the world, I truly believe you need to change yourself first.
And this is why the feminine wholeness practices, or whatever you're doing for your feminine wholeness journey in a very daily practical way, becomes so important. Like, we need to make time in the morning or in the evening to have 20 minutes to dance it out, or to do a jade egg practice, or to do some embodiment thing for us that gives our soul the space to experience what it needs to experience, express and release what it needs to experience, because our workplace isn't going to give us that. And, you know, we're no longer under the care of our parents. Like, we are responsible for ourselves. Like, we really do need to carve out time. And this is where it comes to being a really good mother to ourselves again, this is super important. It's just as important as getting yourself to the doctor for your OBGYN exams, is to have a daily practice where you are allowing your body to express itself, to heal, to run through the full range of emotion. And there's many ways you can do that, you know, like in Body of Bliss, I taught you guys several tools to do that. And you'll, depending on what season of life you're in, you're going to gravitate to one. Do it daily. We will do amazing things for us, like way more than we even realize. Would you agree with that? Like, just the dailiness of it, the repetition of it,
Oh yeah. I think it has to be daily, and it's going to change daily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay. And some days
give yourself the space,
more.
Like, yeah, give yourself the time. Like, morning, my morning routines, I feel like if I look at my self-care practices, I notice a trend and I track them as like kind of shifting every quarter, like with the seasons, I feel a bit of a shift. And it's like my body's asking for something different. And I really have learned how to trust that. But one thing that stays the same is this is the hour I give myself to do that. Like I am very, very committed to time alone, solitude. I'm very, very committed to giving myself this time every day. And then once I have that time, I can fill it with what my body needs or what my soul needs. And that part can change. But if I just kind of see where I can fit it in, it usually doesn't happen. You know, if it's not on your list, if you don't schedule it, what does Marie Forleo say? If you don't schedule it, it's not real.
Yeah.
And so
yeah.
If we want wholeness, if we really want wholeness, like a real experience of wholeness, we are whole. And this is what I hope your listeners hear, is that I really do believe every single woman is whole already, but we want to experience that wholeness. And that's the work. That's the inner work. That's the self-care practices. That's the trainings. That's the deeper one-on-one experiences through coaching or counseling. We want to experience our wholeness, and we can, but we need to absolutely take it seriously and make time for it. Even if it's just putting 5 minutes to begin with in our calendar every morning and just calling it, you know, 5 minutes of wholeness.
I totally agree. I think that if you come across, I mean, it's kind of like a big thing, self-care and self-love right now, and morning routines this and green smoothies that all of this is a spiritual practice. And I think for me, approaching my wholeness and my whole entire wellness from the lens of love and spiritual and divinity has helped make me commit to myself and my higher self, to God, to the universe, and to everybody else, because I am whole right now. And each and every single one of you are divine, whole goddesses that are listening, or gods. And we have to remind ourselves that. And these embodiment practices or mindfulness practices or whatever time you have alone in solitude, that what you need to do to remind yourself to get into that state is so, I don't want to say necessary. It's just, it needs to have. Yeah.
And this is so beautiful about love and any practices that allow us to enter into that state of feeling compassion for ourselves, or feeling access to our truest self. Any practice that brings us into this state of love is a means to an end, because I would say what every single human being really wants is love. And there's a quote that C.S. Lewis has said, and I'm not going to get it perfectly, but it has something, it's like every step along the way to heaven is heaven. And that's what I love about this wholeness journey, the way that I've developed it and approached it myself is that every single day is a love story. And my self-care practices are how I experience that love story that then allows me to expand that love story into all my relationships with my husband, with my kids, with my work. Everything must begin with this experience of love and knowing that this is the means and the ends. Everything that I want, I have right now when I begin to enter into this embodied state of love. And the practices help me do that. And just to be really clear for your listeners, the practices for me right now, they fall into three categories. And I call these the three keys to feminine wholeness, just to make it like very clear for the mind. It's like, what are we talking about? We're talking about abstract things like wholeness, love. It's so abstract.
Yeah.
Practical. And so it falls into three categories. The very first category is it's the physical. It's our physical body, and it's taking supremely good care of the basics. And that is, you know, making sure we drink enough water throughout the day. You know, that's one of my goals. That's one of my self-care practices. It's so simple. You'd think I'd move on from this, but no, it's one of my non-negotiables daily. I drink at least 80 ounces of water. And I track it. I have an app that helps me track it because there's something about tracking something that definitely makes it more motivating and you can see your progress. But no matter how advanced I get in my work, you know, as a coach, helping others, I always return to the basics because the basics are where it's at. And caring for the physical body is incredibly important. So this is the first key of feminine wholeness is just, okay, take supremely good care of the basics. This is the water, the food you eat, the rest you get, making sure you're sleeping enough. All of these things, key number one. Key number two is your emotional body. This is your mind and your heart. And the mantra here is mother yourself well. So this is, how am I going to nurture my thought life today? How am I going to guide and protect this inner child who needs so much love and care? How am I going to encourage the woman who's becoming in me that has these big dreams, that is terrified to show up in her light? How am I going to mother myself well? That's key number two. And this has everything to do with, okay, so my journaling practice is a part of that. My prayer life is a part of that. Like embodying Mary, like for me as a Christian, I take a lot of inspiration from the Divine Mother, from the Queen of Heaven, Mary, and also Mary Magdalene. So part of my spiritual practice and my emotional well-being is to sit in front of the altar and just embody her. Allow that transmission to take place with the prayer that I would mother myself well, and that, you know, therefore can mother my children well and the world well. So that's point key number two, is just to mother yourself well. And that's taking care of your emotional body, mind, and heart. And then the third key to feminine wholeness, to make it really practical, is to attend to your spirituality and your sexuality. This is your energetic body. And this, I put these, the spirituality and sexuality, in one category for a very important reason. And it's because for too long they've been separated. This is the same well within us. It's a life force energy. And so how do I attend to my spirituality and sexuality? This is all the things I do as, like, we may call it a priestess or the alchemy within. So it may be our jade egg practices, or it may be a self-pleasuring practice that we begin with a ritual. It may be, I hope it doesn't scare your listeners. These words are kind of like, they could be kind of scary, but they're not scary at all. Like,
not
this
at all.
Holiest work. For me, it's also delighting in everything. I like to spend 15 seconds, like to really notice when I am in delight, like something will catch me by surprise. Maybe I'm walking outside and like this flower just like is in bloom and this, you know, I'm just amazed by beauty. Instead of just, you know, moving on with my day, I pause and make a practice of, ooh, how can I savor this more? How can I enjoy this more? How can I celebrate and praise this more? And this is why it's such a spiritual practice, is because we're called to rejoice in all things. And this is where it ties in to Sophia. Sophia is feminine wisdom. wisdom. It's just like wisdom, period. But she's embodied and she's personified as a woman for a reason. She is a person that we're invited to get to know. And what's so beautiful about Sophia is not only is she a biblical person that we can read about in the Old Testament and Proverbs and the New Testament as well, but we get to experience her because she is the bridge between divine wisdom and human wisdom. So human wisdom, meaning what we embody, what we experience, the wisdom that we get to know through our own life experience. And she becomes this, for me, not only an archetype, but like this invitation to step into, like, delight is my spiritual practice. In Proverbs, it talks about she was there since the beginning of time. She was right alongside the creator. Some versions even say she is the one doing the creating, where in the mountains and the oceans and all of the planets were formed. And the attribute that she uses to describe herself is that she delighted in all of it. And I really made note of that. It's like, this is a key here. That a key to wisdom itself is delight. And synonyms for delight are joy, pleasure, bliss, ecstasy. You know, so these, like, what does this sound like? This also sounds like the state of when we are turned on, when we are in our sexual power, when we are in that state of being so alive and life force is flowing through us. And so any practice you have that helps you to cultivate that sense of being lit up from within, whether that's just appreciating what lights you up, beauty, goodness, truth in the world, or practices like a jade egg practice or a self-pleasuring practice where you're really working with sexual energy in a very intentional, mindful, meditative way. All these are practical ways that we can care for, tend to our spirituality and sexuality. And I like to, so that's the third key of feminine wholeness, is the way that we attend to our spirituality and sexuality. And that verb to tend, to pay attention, tenderness, it all comes from the same Latin word. And it means to apply one's mind. So if we think about the tenderness that we long for, which is gentleness and concern and warmth and affection, that's our way into our spirituality and our sexuality. And our attention does that. The way that we pay attention to the world and our own energy, what we're experiencing moment to moment. All love begins in the act of paying attention is one of my favorite mantras for myself. And that is like in a moment brings my spirituality and sexuality back into alignment through the act of paying attention and this energetic, anything we do for an energetic experience. And so this is our energy body. So those three, I hope that's helpful just as a map, as yes. a way to frame like some self-care practices or some categories of what does it look like if I really want to practice feminine wholeness? What do I really need to be working on? Well, for some women, it's going to be just like taking supremely good care of the basics. That's job number one. This is you like being really good time management. This is that you're the CEO of you. Like you're going to, this is almost like, you know, just very pragmatic, right? Okay. Check. Did I drink enough water today? Check. Did I go to bed? Turn off my phone 2 hours before I plan on going to bed and get a good enough sleep. For other women on their journey, they're at a place where they're pretty good at the basics, but they are really being invited to the soul work of learning how to mother themselves well, to be super mindful of their thought life and the stories that they're buying into and rewriting those stories. And that's going to be a lot of soul work. That's going to be a lot of journaling. That's going to be maybe working with a coach to help unpack those stories and help create a vision for a new story. And then maybe you're at a place in your journey on feminine wholeness where you're ready to start activating the inner priestess to really say yes to cultivating and tending to your power, your energetic power that comes by way of aligning your spirituality and your sexuality. So, and we can always cycle through that. I always feel like throughout the year, I'm just cycling through those three categories.
I think you put those all beautifully together. It does help to simplify and organize. And when you say feminine wholeness or anything kind of in this realm, it's kind of, I don't know, it encompasses a lot of things. So to organize and deliver it in that manner, I think is so helpful. And for my own personal practices, I think that, you know, getting the first two basics down and getting into that third key is wow. I mean, game changer here.
Right?
Yeah. And if you want to learn any more about that third key, definitely check Morgan's work out. She has Body of Bliss program, which is works all with Jade Egg. And then you have, what is it, Divine Feminine University as well?
Feminine Wellness University.
Yeah, okay.
Which gives you access to five different courses ranging from, you know, working on your relationships to working on your relationship with your body to working on your spiritual life to just unpacking some of this conditioning we have around sexuality, spirituality, womanhood, sex, God, all of those things. So yeah, there's a lot inside Feminine Wholeness University.
Yeah, there is. I'm thinking I'm going to need to sign up for that.
Yeah.
But also I just wanted to say, if you're interested in this third key, and I think it's very important, it does not matter if you have a partner or if you don't
so important.
Have a partner.
Thank you. Uh-huh. Thank you for clarifying that. Cause that's something, people ask me all the time, like, I want to embrace and connect to my sexuality, but I'm not having sex right now. I don't even have a partner right now. How do I do that? And that's when it's like, oh, yes, we need to rethink how we even think about sex and sexuality, because it belongs to you first and foremost before you ever decide who you want to share it with. It belongs to you. And like through practices like the Jade Egg practices or in Body of Bliss, there's, if you're not ready for Jade Egg practices, there's dozens of healing sensuality essentials, what I call them. And they're just simple embodiment practices that anyone can do way before you even begin work with the Jade Egg. They are really the foundational practices to doing the work with the Jade Egg, but they help you no matter if you're married, single, divorced, separated, young, old, to be able to connect to this very sacred, alive part of you.
Yes, because I've learned through working with you that, you know, I knew this, but it didn't really hit home. And so sometimes you have to have somebody mirror this back for you, that this divine energy, this sexuality, this is ours. And yes. And we have to give permission for it to be shared. And starting from that point of this is my divine sexuality energy is just so beautiful. It's empowering.
Yay.
Yeah. But I wanted to thank you so much, Morgan, for coming on today. I think, man, we could totally talk for hours on these topics here. I know I had to, I'm sorry, we had to cut this. But thank you so much. Is there any way that our listeners can be of service of you? How can we connect with you?
You know, shortly I'm going to have a free feminine wholeness mini guide coming out. And so if women just want to have like a map of this, like this wheel of those three keys to feminine wholeness, if they want to have like a resource for that, that they can, you know, keep on their phone or print out and post to their fridge, like they can get that on my website. It's coming out soon. So if you're part of my newsletter, then I'll be sending that out to everyone on my list for free. So morgandaycecil.com, you can get signed up. Also, I am a YouTube creator and I started off just doing Christian yoga videos and meditations. And really where I'm going now is to teach on feminine wholeness. And so if you love YouTube and you love learning from YouTube videos, then you can find me there or YouTube/Morgan Day Cecil. And there'll be videos coming out every week to help you connect to and feel really empowered and excited and inspired with simple ways you can experience more of your wholeness.
Wonderful. And I will say your emails are one of my favorite emails to read. Every time I get a new one, they're so beautifully written and they just make me feel so good. So I definitely recommend sign up for Morgan's email list and check her out on her Instagram too. It's beautifully, I mean, if that isn't divine feminine wholeness, I don't know what is. Just the your messages and your images. I'm definitely Morgan's fangirl over here. So I'm so happy that you got to come on the show today.
Thank you. It was really, really an honor to be here with you, Lauren. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the world and the thoughtful questions that you asked and just the way that you are making a way for women, women who have been trapped in that perfectionism, to really step into this new place of freedom and joy and happiness. I see you and I just applaud your work in the world.
Oh, I thank you. I feel the same way about you. And remember, open up, surrender, trust, and let your body lead the way.